All right, true or false, collector car auction houses actively hide details about the cars on offer. Auctions actively bid up the price of a car when it's being sold. Buyers always pay a 10% consignment fee. So I will answer all of these on this episode of the Collector Car Podcast, dispelling 18 collector car myths.
Okay, this is a call out to my listeners. I do not have a lot of sponsors for this podcast on purpose because I don't want to waste your time with products I am not crazy about. Well, I do have two that I am crazy about. The first one is LLC TLC. This is where you can save money on your car registration. Every year, you can set up a Montana LLC and pay no sales tax on your vehicle purchases, which is really amazing. Now, you can also permanently register your classic cars in Montana to avoid any annual renewal fees. And as your registered agent, LLC TLC will handle everything for you, so you never have to step foot in Montana to take advantage of this incredible offer. Now, as a listener of this podcast, they are offering 30% off your entire package. Now, to get this, simply go to LLCTLC.com/classic or mention this podcast when you call them directly. My other big sponsor of this podcast is Euro Classics out of Dayton, Ohio. Now, that's Euro Classic with an X.com. If you want to reach them in person, you can reach them at 937-299-1311. Now, this is where I get all of the work done on my Porsche. I just had my GTO in there. My Mustang's been in there. It is the place to go if you want awesome service at an extremely competitive price. So when you go there, just ask for Dale and tell him that I sent you.
I have a quick call out for the Metropolitan Motor Club. So this is a club just south of downtown Cincinnati, right across the bridge in Covington, Kentucky. Now, once a month, they have a great guest speaker that's all about automotive passion. So coming up this Tuesday, we have Andy Maganera, who's a collector in the Ohio area, and he's going to share his passion for some really cool cars. I'm not quite sure which cars he's talking about, but he is going to be the featured collector at the Cincinnati Concours this coming June. So if you'd like to know more, go to themetropolitanclub.net or feel free to call him 859-491-2400. Now, what's great, you show up, you sign up, they'll buy you your first drink from the bar, and they have a wonderful dinner available to enjoy and listen to the presenter. So check it out. All of this information is in the description of this podcast. Another quick call out is I am doing this podcast remote yet again from a hotel. This time I'm in Altoona, Pennsylvania. I have a trade show to go to tomorrow, so I had to knock this out at the Fairfield Inn in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Now, while I have your attention here, let's talk about Monterey. Yes, it's all the way out in August, but we are consigning cars now. So if you would like to get your car considered for Monterey, shoot me a note at gstanley@rmsotheby's.com or one of our other car specialists. So one thing I tell folks is if you are thinking about consigning a car to a big auction like Monterey, explore it now, because if you come to an agreement, you want to be in all the initial press releases about the auction so you get as much media attention to your car as possible before the big sale. All right, let's get into these auction myths. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm just going to flow across my face a bunch of cool cars from R.M. Sotheby's website just so there's something entertaining to watch. Otherwise, this is just audio only. All right, auction myth number one, the buyer always pays 10%. Now, I will say that that is false. Now, what I will say is that is 99% true. There's no negotiations when you're a buyer and you're bidding on a car in an auction. Today, most of the times, especially at the higher end auctions, the Scottsdales, Miami, or Monterey, the first $250,000 of a sale is 12%, and then anything above $250,000 is at 10%. Now, why did I say this was not true? Well, because if the car does not sell over the block and you buy it post-block, meaning you're doing a deal afterwards, not live, not a live bidding situation, that's when all the fees come down and the auction house just wants to sell the car. So they'll lower the buyer's fees, they'll lower their consignment fees because they want to get the car sold. Now, if we're strictly talking about while the car is on the auction block, I would say it's 100%. The buyer always pays at least 10%. All right, the second auction myth, the seller always pays 10%. Now again, this is false. There's a lot of factors to the fee in which the seller pays. So yes, you always hear sellers got to pay 10%, but it depends on a ton of factors. It depends on the car. It depends on the auction. It depends on how many cars. So let me give you a couple examples here. If you're consigning, if you're trying to get your car into Monterey and it's a $100,000 car, good luck, first of all. There's limited spots, very high profile. Typically, the minimum to have a reserve on a car for Monterey, $200,000 to $250,000. So anything under, let's say $250,000, expect for it to be no reserve and expect it to be 10%. Now, if you're doing three cars and they get accepted, I would say that that 10% would go down. What would it go down to? 8%, 7%? It just depends on your negotiation skills with your car specialist and the auction house. Now, can it go lower? Yes. Online sales, I know that sometimes it can go as low as 5% if there's an online form in which to sell your car. A lot of things around that. You don't have to ship the car. Fees do go down when it's an online-only format. And then also for some of the, I don't want to say lesser auctions, but like Hershey, you might be able to get a better deal on a percent basis because it's not one of the premier auctions. And again, it depends on the car. If you're bringing an auction house a $1 million car, you're not paying 10%. You might not even be paying 5%. If you're bringing them a $5 million car, you're not paying anything. So it varies from 0 to 10%. All right, next, this one's controversial, the chandelier bidding process. So this is when the auction house actively bids up the prices for a car crossing the block. Now, this is kind of a true-false answer. So I'll give you two examples here. First off, it's called chandelier bidding because back in the day, there would be a bid all of a sudden that drives the price up on a car. Nobody sees anyone raising their hand to bid on it. And so they said, oh, the chandelier must have bid on this car, or there's someone in the chandelier. So I just had a conversation yesterday about this. So there's two scenarios. One is if the car is selling with a reserve price, it is legal for the auction house to bid up on behalf of the seller in order to get the selling price somewhere close to the reserve price. So that's one scenario. I am all for that, and I'll tell you why. Let's say you have a $100,000 car and it doesn't meet the reserve. Bidding stops at, let's say, $20,000. There's just no one in there. The auction house isn't bidding up the price. That could hurt the value of your car as an owner, because at that moment in time, the right buyers were not in the room. And it's not going to sell for 20 grand if there's a reserve on it of, say, like 90 grand. So it's not going to sell anyways. The auction, by the auction house bidding up the car, it's trying to get the most money possible for the seller, obviously for the auction house as well. So I'm okay with it. I'm all for it because it actually protects the value of the car. If it's a no sale, $20,000 no sale, $100,000 car, that car is forever stained with that no sale price. Now, if it no sailed at $85,000 because the reserve was $90,000, doesn't hurt the car as much. The other scenario would be a no reserve situation. So the auction house typically does not bid up the price on a no reserve car because they don't want to have to buy the car, which they would legally have to do. So if it's, again, a $100,000 car, but it's no reserve, bidding stops at $60,000, and the last one to bid was the auction house, they now own the car and they have to pay for the car. So they typically don't do that. Now, there is a situation where this is a little bit different. So that would be if the auction house actually owns the car. A lot of times, auction houses have a few cars in their own fleet that they need to get rid of, and they'll sell them at an auction. And that's a scenario where they might bid it up a little bit more because it's already in their fleet. There's no danger of them having to buy it because they already own it. The next auction myth is expensive shipping cuts all the benefits of buying. I would say, again, true or false, this is where you need to be a skilled buyer. You need to find out what the shipping expenses are before you buy a car. If you deal with someone like RM Sotheby's and you have a car specialist, they can tell you that before you even get to the auction. Shipping rates are always published with the car specialist prior to the auction so they can inform their clients, if you do buy a car, this is how much it's going to cost you to get it home. So that's just part of being an educated buyer. All right, auction myth number 5, auctions hide details about the cars on offer. Now, I'll go into this a little bit later, a little bit more in depth with a couple examples. I don't want to say they hide, but there is creative wordplay that you just have to know how to decipher it. I'll go into that a little bit later. Like I said, I'll have an example, one from R.M. Sotheby's, one from Broad Arrow, and one from Mecum. All right, auction myth number 6, the grinder will aggressively try and get you to lift your reserve. So this is a situation where, say, you list your car for sale for $100,000, you have a reserve of $100,000, maybe the estimate's 100 to 125. There's someone that typically has been called the grinder, meaning they're going to grind you down until you lift your reserve. I can't speak for all auction houses. I will say, watching some of the auction houses on TV, you can see the grinder being very aggressive. And I think one of the reasons they do that is obviously they want to get the reserve lifted so that the car sells. And they also know they have a national audience watching you at this moment in time. And they use that leverage in order to get the consignor to lift their reserve. Now, I will say from an R.M. Sotheby's perspective, it's pretty, at least from my experience, it's much more polite. What will happen is while the auction is happening, they'll either have the seller on the phone or they're in person talking to them. They'll tell them what the real money is in the room. And if, let's say, it's a $100,000 reserve, you know, if it gets up to $90,000, they say, hey, we have $90,000 in the room. Do you want to lift your reserve so that it sells? That is, I've never seen it done very aggressively. It's always been very polite and respectful. Now, I will tell you, they will try to do this ahead as well. So as the auction's about to begin and we start getting interest in the cars, you know, understand which cars have a lot of interest, which ones don't. If your car does not have a lot of interest, your car specialist, if they're good, they will call you ahead of time of the auction and they'll say, hey, you know what? We don't feel your car is going to sell for $100,000. We think we're going to miss your reserve. We feel pretty good it's going to sell around $80,000 or whatever the number is. And they'll ask you ahead of the auction, is it okay if we get to that number that we lift the reserve? And they will do that only when you give them your approval. Myth number 7, car auctions are only for dealers and experts. I would say that's false, but I will say if you are a beginner, you definitely want to do your homework. There are a lot of dealers at the auctions, not only buying, but selling. I've honestly been surprised at how many classic car dealers buy and sell through these auctions. It's pretty interesting. And the good auction houses, they have a car specialist that you can have with you to walk you through the process. If you're a beginner, you can call one up. You can drive. You can ride in the car. You can't drive the car, but you know, you can meet the car specialist ahead of the auction. And you can sit with them, start up the car, do all sorts of stuff you want to do from an inspection perspective. They can walk you through the entire process. You can come up with a game plan with the car specialist that you're comfortable with. So you do not have to be a dealer or an expert to be successful at an auction. All right, myth number 8. Auctions are destroying the car hobby by driving up prices. Now, I had a heated conversation with a fellow enthusiast over lunch about this the other day. If I were not in the auction world, I would probably have the same opinion. But since I'm in the auction world, I have a different opinion. Let me give you an example. When I was talking to him, he would say the hobbyists, the car collector hobby is being destroyed for the average Joe, for the hobbyist. And I asked him, what do you mean by that? He's like, well, back in the day, you used to be able to get a good deal on a car. And so my pushback to him was, all right, if you're selling the car, do you want to sell it and give someone else a good deal? Or do you want to sell it at its maximum value? And I'll go back to the 1958 Cadillac Biarritz I sold at Auburn a few years ago. This is a car, great car, limited edition. You know, they didn't make, but I don't know, 780 of them or something. This one sat for 12 years and it was coming apart at the seams somewhat. And the owner's husband had passed away. It was his car 12 years earlier. And she had put out flyers at car cruises. She had done all sorts of stuff, put it on Facebook Marketplace. And she just kept on getting tire kickers, hobbyists that were trying to steal it from her. They were not willing to give her a good price. And she just got tired of it. Finally heard about me, gave me a call. We sat down, we came up with a game plan, we came up with an estimate she was happy with, we came up with a reserve she was happy with. So the estimate was $45,000 to $55,000. Like I said, the car needed a lot of work. We took it to Auburn Auction, and it sold for $88,000. She was so happy. She was jumping up and down on the stage, and she was so animated that the local news wanted to interview her. So are auctions driving up the prices? I would say, yeah, I could see that. But they're also driving up the return for the owners. So is the average car guy unable to afford something he might have been able to afford prior to the car auction? Yeah, probably. But I would push back and say there's a lot of other great cars out there that are entry-level cars that are available at a reasonable price that you can work on, plenty of aftermarket parts. So I think there's still a lot of opportunity out there for someone wanting to get into the hobby. Auction myth number 9, auctions lack transparency. This one's kind of true-false. I think there's a level of transparency that the auctions try to give, and that's where you talk to the car specialist, you become friends with them. They'll watch your back, you know, make sure you're not jumping into something you're not ready for. So I think they try to be as transparent as they can, but there's also a level that they have to keep, I don't want to say hidden, but there is a level just to protect their client base, to protect their business. They can't share everything, obviously. So that's a little bit 50-50, I say, on that one. Myth number 10, online auctions actually sell cars. I'm going to say that's false. Now, I'll use Bring a Trailer as an example because I absolutely love their model. Their business model is amazing. They don't sell any cars. I call it a dating service. So if you're not familiar with Bring a Trailer, I wish I had come up with Bring a Trailer. They basically do a dating service. So you put your car out there. It's quote unquote auctioned off, and folks bid on your car, and whoever wins the auction is the person who has agreed to buy your car for that price. But Bring a Trailer does not hold any titles, they don't do any transfer, they don't handle any funds. All they do at the end of that auction is they give you the email address, contact number, whatever, to the person who agreed to buy your car for that price. It's a beautiful, wonderful model. I'm surprised they can actually say their cars are sold right after they quote unquote hammer sold, because since they don't have the titles and they don't facilitate the sale, I just don't quite understand that. Whereas the traditional auction houses do hold the title and they're going to facilitate the sale. Now, does that fall apart every once in a while? Sure, but for majority of the time, it does not. Auction myth number 11, auction houses don't stand by their sales. That's true false again. I think it depends on the auction house. Now, I will only speak to RM Sotheby's because I've talked to some of these clients that have been clients for a long, long time. And RM Sotheby's stands by their sales. Now, they might push back if there's an issue that they feel like the buyer should have known about and should have been ready for. But if it's something unexpected, there's many examples where I've seen either RM Sotheby's has bought the car back, or they have fixed the issue, or they have whatever. There's a lot of different examples. One I'll give you, this is a number of years ago. There was an AC Cobra, 427 big block AC Cobra, and it hammered sold, and it hammered under what the seller thought it should sell for. So the owner took it upon himself to switch out the real Hallebrand wheels with fake ones. So it looked the same, but they weren't the original Hallebrand wheels. And so RM Sotheby's actually went out, found some original Hallebrand wheels, bought them, and gave them to the new buyer of that AC Cobra to make sure everything was right for them. I thought that was a great example. And there's many, many examples such as that where RM Sotheby's did what was right for the buyer, which is why they're so successful, because they want those buyers to come back, obviously. Auction myth number 12, the reserve price is what the car is worth. Now that is false. Now I have fun with this one. I'd like to tell folks, when you're looking at a high-low estimate, the low estimate is typically what the auction house thinks the car will sell for. The high estimate is what the consignor hopes it sells for. And typically the reserve is either the low estimate or slightly below the low estimate. I don't think I've ever seen a reserve higher than the low estimate. Now, I found a nice article from Hemmings, and I'll read a little bit about what they've had to say for a couple of these topics. So for this particular topic, the reserve price is not necessarily what the car is worth, although sometimes an auction car sells for that exact reserve price or fails to meet reserve. Reserve price and sales price are two different concepts. If you think your car is worth, say, $20,000, that's not where you would set the reserve price. Think of the reserve as the least amount you take from a classified ad. If the asking price is $20,000, but you would take $18,000, that lower value should be the reserve price. The good part about an auction is that you could get more than what you expected, but only if you have multiple bidders competing. That's more likely to happen after the reserve is met, when bidders know the car will sell. That is, once you hit your safe number, any bids beyond that are a bonus. And that's a really good point, because I know we had, I believe it was the Uhlenhout Coupe that sold for $142 million. There was a bidder who didn't jump in until the reserve was lifted at $90 million. So it could have stalled at $85 million, could have stalled at $90 million. But once that reserve came off, he jumped in and that drove it up. You know, now they had, instead of one or two bidders, they now had three or four bidders. Auction myth number 13, the money you put into the car makes it worth more. Now, this is a big old false. I guess it could be true if you're very, very skilled at doing this. Now, this is from Hemmings as well. This is a common misconception across the automotive hobby and is often associated with the phrases like, I know what I have. Yes, recent service and receipts help illustrate the car is in good condition or had quality work done to it, which can help get a better price. But ultimately, the value of the car is based on what people are willing to pay, not how much you spent to restore it or keep it running. Auction myth number 14. Classified ads are a guide to current prices as well as valuation guides. Now, this is a big fat false. Again, from Hemmings. Remember, setting an auction reserve is an estimate of an exact figure for each individual car. That's different than what price guides do, which is estimating all the values for every version of a car. Price guides are just that, guides. And that's very interesting. I will often reference Hagerty's valuation tool. And that one in the past, pre-COVID, I would always tell folks, well, that's providing you a value that's a retail price point. It's higher. It's like a replacement price. Like if you go get your wife's engagement ring insured, they'll insure it for twice of what it's actually worth. I would usually tell folks, you know, if you're looking at the Hagerty valuation guide, you need to lower it by 15 to 20%. That's replacement value. That's not what it's actually worth today. That's got a little bit muddy with COVID because the prices have gone up so high. So when I reference some of their valuation tools today, I actually see a little bit of the opposite, where theirs is a little under what recent sale prices have been. So how does a car specialist come up with an estimate and a suggested reserve? Well, what we'll do is we'll use a tool such as Hammer Price, and we'll look at, you know, four or five or six of the most recent sales of a like car in a like condition to get the real time number versus using valuation tools. Now, this is a little note about the condition of a car, and I think this is very important as well. From Hemmings, and speaking of condition, this is another area where people are often mistaken. A careful read of condition ratings will set things straight. Cars in number one condition are the best of the best. Sometimes even a perfectly preserved original car doesn't warrant that status if there are better restorations out there. Low mileage preservations in any car most people would consider exceptional often qualify for number two condition. Most cars, even the really good ones, have a condition and value that falls somewhere between the bottom of the number two range and most of the number three range. And what I have found, most cars, even cars that win local car shows, are typically number three. Maybe it's a high number three or low number two. Very rarely are they a strong number two, and they're almost never a number one. That would be Concours Lawn kind of condition. All right, myth number 15. A car is worth as much as the last big sale. This one really drives me nuts because you'll have folks that want to sell their car because we just had a record sale and they expect their car to bring that record sale. That's what I call auction magic. When two people have to have the car and they bid it up to a world record price, that is very, very hard to replicate. So usually when I do price comparisons on recent sales, I'll throw out the highest price and I'll throw out the lowest price. You never see someone making the argument, well, that's the lowest price ever. That's what my car is worth. No, it's always, that's the highest price. That's what my car is worth. So I'll throw out the top and the bottom and I'll look at everything else that has sold to come up with a reasonable and fair number. All right, auction myth number 16. When the hammer hits, it means the car is sold. So if you've ever watched an auction, the auctioneer has a hammer. When you hear the hammer hit, that does not mean the car has sold. That means that the opportunity to buy the car is over. Now, you have to really listen to see if they say sold, if they say this car is going to sell, meaning the reserve has been lifted. If you hear them end on a top bid and the hammer hits, it just means that's over. If you don't hear them say it's sold, that means it's a no sale. Myth number 17, if you buy a car afterwards, a car that did not sell while on the auction block, you have to pay all of the fees. This is false. I mentioned this earlier. The example when a car does not sell, that's when the auction house wants to get the car sold. So let's say they had, to make the math easy, let's say they had a $100,000 car. There was 10% on the seller side fee, 10% on the buyer side. So at that example, the auction house could make $20,000. Well, if they want to get the car sold, maybe they could sell it for $90,000, and maybe they just take 5% from either side. So you know what? They make $9,000 instead of $20,000 on the car, but the car is sold. So they're still happy. The person who buys the car is happy. So anytime a car does not sell, that's when the deals can be made afterwards, and that's when they shave some of the fees to get the car sold. All right, auction myth number 18. Car descriptions are deceptive. Now, this is the example that I wanted to pull up one from each of the auction houses. The first example I was going to go with is a 1966 Pontiac GTO, close to my heart. I won't say they're deceptive, but I'll say that they're purposely vague, putting the ball in the court of the buyer, potential buyer, to do some more research. So the one I'll bring up here as an example is at Mecum. Now this is for the Houston sale coming up Saturday, April the 6th, a beautiful 1966 Pontiac GTO. It states it has a 389 cubic inch big block V8 four-speed air conditioning, very similar to my car. Now when you look at this, it doesn't have a ton of detail. So frame off rotisserie restoration. Okay, well first off, yes, maybe it's a frame off rotisserie restoration, but it doesn't say factory correct rotisserie restoration. And when I looked at the pictures, it almost looked too nice. I didn't see paint splatter underneath the hood or underneath on the floor pans. So frame off rotisserie restoration sounds great, but it doesn't say factory correct. Now it also says matching numbers, 389, 360 horsepower V8 engine. Well, GTOs did not have VIN stampings on the engine block. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I went to a GTO expert and they said they do not have that. They do have the VIN on the transmission. So what does matching numbers mean on a V8 engine? Now that could mean it's date code correct. So the date codes on the block are correct and align with the build date of the car. Doesn't mean it's original to the car. So that's just, you know, a little vagueness there. It says it has a four-speed manual transmission, doesn't say it's original to the car. It has the correct platinum silver exterior. I can pick this apart. Is that correct for a 1966 GTO, or is that correct for this car, meaning it's on the data plate? It says it has air conditioning, doesn't say it's factory installed air conditioning. Just little things like that that you can really kind of pick it apart. It does have the PHS documents, the Pontiac historic, I think it's service document. So that's what you would get and document the car. So that would be something you'd want to look at doing your research for this car. That PHS document should tell you if it came with AC, if it was originally silver. It should answer a lot of these questions for you. Absolutely beautiful, stunning, cool car. So yeah, purposely vague, possibly, but I don't think it's purposely being deceptive. All right, let's go look at another one. Let's look at Broad Arrow. So they had at Amelia Island, they had a 1992 Ferrari 512 TR. Beautiful car. All right, highlights. Desirable European market example. Showing so many miles. So showing 33,000 kilometers. So it's showing. That doesn't mean they're correct and accurate. Now, it probably is, but it would be up for the buyer, up to the buyer to, you know, ask, are there service records that document this mileage? So the auction company can't say it's accurate, but they can say it is showing. Major engine out service conducted in March of 2023. I would assume that all of the documentation as far as what was done would be part of the file, the backup documentation. So a lot of this you got to put on the buyer to do their due diligence. All right, and then I have an example from RM Sotheby's. Now this is from the Miami sale. This is one that kind of drove me a little bit nuts. It's a 1988 Lamborghini Countach 5000 QV. Now this one is a beautifully preserved Countach. Now this one says displaying 1,273 kilometers. So that's saying it's displaying, doesn't say it's correct, but it is showing what is displayed currently. Said to be one of 66 later fuel injected 5,000 QV cars. So they had to put the verbiage said to be. Now that could be said to be from an actual expert who knows, but a lot of time, especially on the Italian marks, getting rock solid documentation for production figures was very hard. So you have to do the best that you can. Now, one of the things about this car was there were some significant changes. It presents as being all original, but as you read it, you'll know a little bit more of the history of the car, some stuff that was done when it was first bought, but they never call out the fact that there was chrome plating done to parts in the engine bay. Now, that's something that is very apparent when you look at the pictures. And again, it's to the buyer to understand what they're looking at and to be educated in the car enough so that they feel comfortable in bidding, especially at a price level of, you know, $700,000, $800,000. The buyer needs to do their homework, and a car specialist can definitely help out. All right, so that's it for dispelling auction myths for this episode of the Collector Car Podcast. Hopefully next week I'll be back in my studio. I have some cool artwork on the wall you'll have to check out if you're watching on YouTube. And as always, thanks for listening, thanks for watching, and I will talk to all of you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Collector Car Podcast. Don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes and be sure to follow us on Instagram and everywhere else at the Collector Car Podcast.